Anarchopreneur, episode number 57, How Mindset Leads to Mastery, with our very special guest, Shane Hunter.
Government is inefficient and should be dissolved.
What government should actually do is just leave people alone to buy and sell freely among themselves. If they just leave self-interested traders to compete with one another, markets are guided to positive outcomes as if by an invisible hand.
It's free markets that are moral because you only succeed if you meet the needs and wants of other people.
One of the hard things for people to understand is that the more you try to control an economy, the more quickly it falls apart.
Capitalism. God's way of determining who is smart and who is poor.
What is up, free market squad, and the place to be? Thank you for taking an hour out of your week to hang with me. I am, of course, your host with the Hero Complex, the High Priest of Propaganda, Nathan Frazier. This is the Nathan Frazier Show, Anarchopreneur, and you, more importantly, you are the free market squad. Again, thank you for spending some time with me and my very special guest this week. We've got Shane Hunter, the abrasive entrepreneur. Shane is just a wealth of knowledge. We're going to be talking about his journey, how he got into marketing, how he crashed and burned, and how he got back up, the things that he's learned along the way, his book, which just focuses on all the mindset tricks or all the mindset understandings that you need to have in order to be successful in the world of entrepreneurial and marketing ventures. And this is just going to be a wealth of knowledge. This entire episode just blew my mind, and I am so proud to be able to present it to you. Before we get into it, though, I do need to give some love to the networks that pick up and air the show. Of course, Truth Frequency Radio, Chris and Cherie Geo that put that out. Much love and thank you for helping promote my propaganda. I do appreciate it. Also, UCY.TV, Jules, for putting that together. Thank you and much love. And of course, LRN.FM, the Liberty Radio Network. Much love to Ian and Mark and everybody over there that makes this broadcasting possible from their avenues as well. And of course, all the AM and FM affiliates out there. And geez, so many people to thank. I'd like to thank all the little people. Of course, TuneIn and iHeartRadio for allowing this show to be broadcast on their applications as well. And if you want more of this type of material, you can always go to NathanFrazierShow.com. That is the home page for this here podcast. And you can check out FreeMarketSquad.com if you're interested in connecting with like-minded business, liberty, entrepreneurs. You know, I'm going to stop killing time and we're just going to jump into this week's interview with Shane Hunter. So, Free Market Squad, here you go. Shane, welcome to the Nathan Frazier Show. I am super stoked to have you. It's been forever. I've been trying to get you on the show for, it feels like almost a year now. I've been trying to get you, and this is the first time that our schedules coincided.
Yes, I am an irresponsible prick. That's the problem.
I don't know if I'd go that far, at least on air, but you said it, so. Just a heads up, I'm not feeling 100% today, so I'm going to lean on you during this interview. I couldn't risk canceling on you and then not being able to get you on for another year. So,
right. I'll see you in another year.
So, just so the audience knows, I first came across you probably maybe a year and a half ago. I was getting into Facebook advertising. I was selling a lot of t-shirts using Facebook ads, and I came across a small info product that you put out. And it was kind of like one of those aha moments about Facebook ads that I didn't realize the potential of. So it really helped me out with selling t-shirts. And then I got onto your mailing list and I started following you. And then a mutual friend of ours, or I guess acquaintance of mine, friend of yours, Ben Settle, kind of put me together with you. And so that's where we're at today. You sent me a copy of your book, and I just have so many different questions and so many different directions to go with this conversation. But before we jump into that, would you take a minute to kind of introduce yourself to my audience and let them know who you are and what it is that you do?
Absolutely. Nathan, thank you for having me. My name is Shane Hunter. I am also known as AKA the Abrasive Entrepreneur. And I am I would say moderate to libertarian. I like to not even take a place when it comes to an argument per se. I like to step back from the argument and be able to analyze the entire thing. So I always like to analyze the spectrum of anything, whether it's politics or business, before I step into it. And that's, I think, one of the big things that defines me versus anybody else out there that's teaching being an entrepreneur or being an entrepreneur online. Right now, I have a newsletter called Abrasive Entrepreneurs. It also comes with a membership to a VIP club, which is just a fancy term for a Facebook group. But in that group and in that newsletter, we average anywhere from 250 pages to 500 pages of content each month. It's all free content that's based on advertising, marketing, and branding with a focus on list building. And that's what we do. Those are the people that I help. There's 50 people that are in that group right now, and they're all stoked. So what I'm trying to do is teach a whole bunch of entrepreneurs that are just like myself, you know, that maybe aren't necessarily passionately associated to everything the second that they hear it. I want people that can say, wait, let me process that information first.
Nice.
And I like to work with those type of people.
And that's something that, especially in the political dialogue, it seems like that's something that's sadly lacking nowadays.
Well, it's the one thing that separated Ron Paul from every other politician of the last 50 years. I'm actually going to see Ron Paul on Wednesday in Phoenix. I was going to the Phoenix area anyway on Thursday. I saw he was speaking at noon on Wednesday and kind of freaked out because I'm not going to lie, I'm a fanboy. I like the guy a lot. And it's not like in some unhealthy way. I'm not obsessed with him or anything along those lines, but he's one of those people that's very, very rational. He stops, he takes a look at the issue, thinks about it, then makes his decision. But that decision can change over time. Imagine that, right? As more information and more data comes in, you can change your mind over time.
Yeah.
So that's why I love him. And so going out there to see him on, Wednesday, and that's going to be ridiculous.
Nice. So I'd like to kind of, like I said, you sent me your book and I read through it and I loved it because a lot of the stuff that you were making points of were rules that I kind of have lived my life by. And a lot of the things that people attribute to luck in the areas that I've been able to succeed in life.
Yes.
I was able to pinpoint in your book, by the way, The Final Fight, it's an amazing read.
Thank you.
And, I was, after reading it, I was like, okay, I got to get Shane on. I want to kind of start at the beginning, though. You didn't just have this role of a online marketer fall into your lap. Before you were doing online marketing and entrepreneurial ventures, mm-hmm. What was your life like and what led you to kind of jump into the life that you're living now?
Well, I moved from Canada, Calgary, Alberta, Canada, which is the farthest right in a left country. so you're out of place. And that's, if you're born and raised in Calgary, Alberta, you feel out of place because it's a city that was 300,000 people when I was born and grew to over a million people by the time I left at the age of 23.
Wow.
So it is, you know, this crisis that everybody's talking about these days. I got to see exactly what happened in Calgary. And eventually, it did actually come together and people were able to live. And now there is more violence. There is more crime. There is more this. There is more that. But the overall tone of Calgary was that it still worked. The main defining reason that made it work was because Calgarians were willing to welcome these people, but weren't willing to work with them instead of say, nope, fuck you, you're the enemy. Which is so, and sorry about cussing, I might do that a couple times, so you might have to beat me out. But basically, people these days are so quick to make enemies with somebody else that they don't understand or that is on the other side of the whatever spectrum that they're on in that argument. That person is my enemy. Well, if you stop thinking that way and thinking of how can I be friends with this person, which my book goes into as well.
Yeah.
How can I be friends with this person? How can I work with this person for a better future for both of us? And holy crap, does your world ever open up when you start thinking with that one small twist?
So what was it that, I guess, what were you doing for work before you got into marketing?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So for work, I was actually a waiter was my last job. I was working at Applebee's, probably 2 or 3 years, because I first moved from Calgary, Canada, like I said, to Washington State. In Washington State, I found a girl. I had actually moved there being in a band, right? Band didn't work out, fell in love with a girl, got married to the girl, needed to make money. The best way I could do that was selling via my personality, which was waiting tables. So I got a job at Applebee's, worked at Applebee's. We paid off all of our debt. We had a bunch of credit card debt, a bunch of immigration debt, et cetera. We paid all of that off and we said, okay, where in this country do we want to move? And we were at like Macaroni Grill or something where they let you draw on the tablecloth. So we both wrote down our top five. Number one for both of us was San Diego. So we didn't even look at the other four of each of our lists. We're like, well, that was pretty obvious, right? And neither of us have lived here. Neither of us had even been here before, but we just knew this was the right climate for us to thrive in. It was the right mixture of people because there are both extreme left and extreme right around where we live. And there's a lot of moderates because of it, because that polarization has burned people out. But anyways, moved down to California and here in San Diego County and kept that job at Applebee's. I actually got a transfer from the Applebee's up in Washington to the one here. So the job that I had immediately before diving headfirst into internet marketing and search engine optimization was at Applebee's. So that was my last job. And I actually had Frank Kern as a client, a couple of other $1,000 extra per month clients, and a big corporate contract. So I was making roughly $40,000 a month. But I was still working at Applebee's.
So I don't want to like just glaze over that or skim over that real quick. I kind of want to get into how did you go from working at Applebee's to the point where you were making $40,000 with some A-list clients and some big corporate clients? Like, for most of my listeners, they're going to say, "Well, that just sounds impossible." How did you make that transition?
It is impossible when you say it's impossible, but the second that you say, how is this not impossible, and start asking better questions, your entire visual shifts on what's possible and what's not. And if you ask yourself, how can I do this? How can that be done? Instead of this can't be done, that simple mental shift changes everything. But the real answer was, I needed skills. Okay, you don't start getting paid that kind of money unless you have obscene skills and in an industry that is further ahead than the rest of the world. Okay, so the time that I was jumping into this stuff, yes, there were a lot of internet marketers, but it was not like it is today. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so we have a saturated market now compared to when I got started. So because I was able to rank first worldwide for SEO, for SEO company, for SEO consultant, for copywriting services, for internet marketing services, et cetera. I ranked simultaneously between first to third for all of those, first for the most of them. And it was that skill set that allowed me to start bringing in those really big contracts. But how did I learn that? Well, if you could see my office right now, it's still not set up. We moved into this house 3 months ago. And my office still isn't quite set up because I work usually from the living room and that sort of thing. You would see a room that is, I don't know, 20 by 15 that is wall-to-wall books. And this collection of my books has actually been reduced 3 times in the last year by like a third. So the amount of information that I had to start learning to get good at everything, because I didn't know jack shit about business. I'd had a landscaping business up in Washington, but that even back there in Washington, when I had that landscaping business, that's when I started reading books on marketing, but it didn't quite click yet back then. But as I read more and more and kept on asking myself questions of how can I learn more? How can I learn this more efficiently? Number one, right? Because I've always been a very, very slow reader. Like, we're talking ridiculously slow, probably like third grade level speed of reading, mm-hmm, for most of my life. But my comprehension has always been above like college level 100%. So when I read something, typically my comprehension of it was just as high as the teacher's, and that was all throughout school my entire life. So I was fortunate enough to be able to absorb everything I could read. Unfortunately, I was trying to walk across America barefoot. That's the speed I was going at, you know? But as I kept reading more and more and not using that as an excuse, well, how can I get faster? Probably through practice. So I kept reading and I kept reading and I kept reading. And I went through all the familiar things of like, you know, what is it? Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, those sorts of things. A bunch of Donald Trump books. Tony Robbins, Dan Kennedy, Dale Carnegie, The Wealthy Barber, things like the Harvard Business Reviews on brand management, right? The Charisma Factor, The Likeability Factor, Top Performance by Zig Ziglar, all these sorts of books. Think and Grow Rich, Scientific Advertising by Claude Hopkins. And it wasn't that I started jumping into advertising until probably 2 or 3 years ago, but I found that thing again, just like I did with SEO, that what I was doing was at a different level than what everybody else in the game was doing it at. And so that's what it takes, is reading that much stuff, or at least being able to learn enough in a focused, and this is why if you niche down into a very specific niche, it's much easier to become an expert because there's less material to cover.
Right.
So if you do that and you focus all of the stuff that you're reading, all of the videos that you're watching, all of the courses that you're taking, all of the events that you're going to, and they're all super hyper focused, and you have that focus of, I want to be the expert of this, you will get there.
Nice.
It's a matter of time.
So I know personally for myself, I've been marketing my own products and my own services for probably 6 years now. And I didn't actually, yep. I didn't reach out and start helping other people with their businesses until maybe about 2 years ago. But now I work with some pretty big name companies. I do consulting with some pretty big named copywriters. And I still feel occasionally like I'm in over my head. And do you ever deal with that? And when you first got started, did you deal with that? And if so, how did you overcome that sense of, am I getting too big for my britches?
Yeah. I kept reading. I kept learning. And I keep learning to this day. I mean, earlier when you said, you know, I'm acquaintances, but you're friends with Ben Settle. Well, a couple of years ago, that wasn't true. But Ben Settle was a copywriter whose words completely expressed what I was thinking at that time, right? And so I signed up for his book and for his monthly newsletter. And from there, he said, hey, I'm going to be in your neighborhood like this weekend. Do you want to hang out? I was like, okay, sure, what the hell, let's go. We hung out and we argued about who worked less. because we both had our own different stories, right? Like I was on this SEO side for the longest time and then into advertising. And he was on the copywriter with the focus on email marketing. But we just hit it off because we both had the same kind of thought process when it came to business, you know? And being around each other really sharpened both of us, I think. So when you're feeling like I don't belong or the imposter syndrome, you have to realize that's all out of your head, right? You're creating that reality. So just like you can create that reality, you can drop that reality and you can implant another reality, right? I am worth it. I am indeed worth it. I might not know more than this guy. But does that mean that I can't hang out with him? No, it doesn't. It means I should hang out with him and I should shut the fuck up. Right?
For sure.
Let the man talk. And if you hang around enough people like that, that you think, oh man, I'm not worthy enough to hang around with them, or, you know, I'm not on that skill level, and you hang around with those people more, you know, they say that you become like the five closest friends that you have. So you'll notice that my niche, circle of friends are some of the best marketers in the world. That's not coincidence. It's because those guys were ideal friends. And we also hit it off because there's been a lot of trial and error. There's been a lot of people that I've met gurus that are very good at what they do, but we did not mesh. Not at all.
Okay.
Right? But the only way to overcome that imposter syndrome is to start believing that you are worthy enough to do something and then start proving that you're worthy enough to keep hanging out. So you keep learning and then you start bringing stuff to the table after you've learned from the people that you've held in such, you know, awe over the years. The answer is to learn more, and the answer is to have confidence. My wife and I also run a wild Mustang training facility here in California. That's her dream job, wild Mustangs. Well, she's helping a little girl who is doing a show next weekend or next week in Arizona. This little girl was just like I was when I was a kid, very, very quiet, very, very reserved, not dumb, not even antisocial, nothing along those lines, just was more of an observer, right? You could see that she was actively taking everything in, but doesn't talk a lot. Well, that's fine, but I told her, if you want to be very, 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 very good, or at least be perceived as very good, do you know what the secret is? What do you think she said?
I have no idea.
She kind of put her head down, looked at the ground, looked back up at me, you know, where the shoulders kind of shrug, the head drops, and they look up at you. Like, I don't really know, is kind of the expression. I said, it's confidence.
Mm.
If you can show next week with confidence, you can screw up, and it's going to look like you did it on purpose. And that is a huge secret to success that is absolutely ridiculously stupid, but 100% true.
Yeah, and to parallel this in real life and in the political arena too, politicians can make mistakes, but as long as they stay confident, people will still keep their confidence in them. People are more concerned with confidence and with I guess your belief in yourself than yeah. Than your actual same thing with people that make their money telling fortunes or making mm-hmm. predictions about the future, futurists, people that make their living off of that stuff, even if they get it wrong 4 out of 10 times, as long as they stay confident, people stay confident in them.
Yep. So you've probably heard the quote that common people talk about people. Enlightened people talk about ideas, right? So what does that mean? That means that because there's not a lot of enlightened people or people that are, you know, doing something more with their lives. That's like that 1% sort of people in every different group, right? So if 99% or even say 90% of the population is what you would consider normal, average people, right? That even if it's 50%, 60%, somewhere around there. It means that most people watch people, not what you're doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but explain it a little bit more.
They're watching you. That's why confidence is so important. Because when you look confident and you're doing something, or you're confident and you're speaking, look at Barack Obama, okay? A good half of this nation was enthralled with that man. Do you know why? Because he had confidence when he spoke. There's no there's no there's no stutters. There's pauses. You see the difference in speech pattern that would create? Instead of I was like, well, you know, Nathan, I really believe that if I talked like that, this interview would not be going well. Right? You'd be cursing the fact that you asked for an hour and be like, you know what? I meant 10 minutes. Did I say an hour? My bad.
That's true. So back to the confidence thing, actually, in your book, you say that you were able to accomplish this. You went from working at Applebee's to having a few very high paying clients. And then after mm-hmm. a while, that all came crashing down.
It did.
Can you explain that? And then where you got the confidence to get back up on the horse and try again?
Absolutely. But let's do that after this commercial break.
Okay, we'll take a commercial break. We'll get more into the rise and fall of Shane Hunter, and then the eventual rise again, because you didn't fall down and stay down. So yeah, let's take a break real quick. We're gonna promote some products, pay some bills, and we'll be right back on the other side.
Free markets. Free people.
Are you a liberty-minded entrepreneur, small business owner, agorist, or freelancer? Do you ever struggle in your business and feel like you're all alone in the world? Can you imagine how great it would be if there were a community of freedom-loving business people just waiting to connect with you? Can you keep a secret? There is such a community. Free Market Squad is the online mastermind group for people who are passionate about freedom and success in life. Access to a mastermind group is probably one of the most valuable things you could have in your life, and membership in the Free Market Squad is absolutely free. If you have a Facebook account and you want more information on how to join the Free Market Squad, head on over to www.freemarketsquad.com. That's freemarketsquad.com. You're a busy podcaster, not a web designer, but you know, without a professional website to send your guests and listeners to, your podcast will not get the attention it deserves. Having a great website is crucial to the success of your podcast, but it can also be a major headache, not to mention a drain on your wallet. You need a service that's easy to use, gives you a great website, and hosts your podcast files all in one place. You need BlastPod from Podcast Blastoff. Far from just another WordPress platform, BlastPod was built from the ground up by podcasters for podcasters. BlastPod is your all-in-one podcasting solution that gives you the ability to podcast like the pros. Sign up now and get access to your BlastPod website today. Putting the power of podcasting into the hands of the people. PodcastBlastoff.com.
Let me ask you something. Haven't you ever been tempted to just break the rules and finally
get back at my big faceless corporate bosses for making me feel so small and insignificant?
Look at this, Marge. $58 and all of it profit. I'm the smartest businessman in the world.
Government can print money, but it's the entrepreneurs who really make the money.
Why don't you guys just make your cars cleaner and nicer and try to be better to your customers so that you can compete with Handy Car's popularity in the marketplace?
Shut up and take my money.
All right, we're back. We got Shane Hunter, the abrasive entrepreneur, on the air with us today. Shane, before we went to the break, we were talking about your transition from working a normal 9-to-5 type job to what would seem almost unattainable to most people, where you're dealing with some A-list clients, you've got a lot of money rolling in, you're kind of living the dream that a lot of people that might be listening to this have. And I know that that didn't completely, it didn't last as long as maybe you wanted it to. Can you kind of tell the story of what happened once you got to the point where you were being successful? What was it that was going on in your mind at that time? And then things kind of took a turn for the worse, didn't they?
Yeah. So imagine yourself and you're living three blocks from the beach in Southern California. Every day is beautiful, right? You have your dream girl as your wife. Your business is ultra super successful, more than you've ever known. Like, you're making more per month at this point than you thought you would be making per year. 30 to 40 grand a month. And I was able to hire two of my good friends, bring them down from Washington to come and work for me, flying back and forth across the country to do consultations and working with a personal trainer, pretty much eating right, all of that shit. Everything was going perfectly right. Like, oh my God, I made it. This is amazing. And then it happened. I fly out to Springfield, Illinois, and it was late when I got in, so I just went to the hotel that was already set up for me because I'd already been working with this company for like 6 months. And they paid for like my airfare first class and, you know, to stay in like a really nice, like long extended stay hotel and things along those lines. Well, I stay there that night. The next morning, I get a phone call from the lady that I had hired and trained to be in charge of this internet marketing division that I had created for this company. And she says, "We're cleaning out our desks. They told us all to get out. We're all fired. It's all done." I said, "Wait, what? What do you mean? Like, everybody? Like, the whole place is terminated? No, no, just our division. We've been shut down. What the fuck? I think, right? Because I just flew out here last night. Why did I fly out here last night if they're being terminated? So I rushed to the office in the rental car that they've paid for, right? Like, all of these clues don't say, hey, this guy's done, or anything along those lines. It all was business as usual until this phone call. So I rush over to this office, and sure enough, my entire department is in tears. They have no idea, because these guys were like, they had come from all over the country. You understand? I had hired from, like, New Mexico, like, everywhere. And people came there because the jobs that I was offering, I wrote the job codes for. So it was to them, holy crap, this is super cutting edge. This is super amazing. So they were willing to give up their lives, come to this place and work for me. And that was the plan, right? That's what I had intended to do. We had actually increased the profitability of this company a substantial amount, like ridiculous, way more than we ever cost, way more. But they had hired a new CFO, and that CFO didn't understand what internet marketing was. So he turfed the term, or the entire team. He just saw the expenses, not the fact that it had caused all of this additional income, et cetera, and it was done. Well, I go to the CEO's office. He's not there, of course, right? Never there. Sorry, he's busy jumping off the building with a golden parachute. and so I'm left to talk to, I think, his two brothers-in-law, right, that are like the other C-level executives of this place. And they're like, well, we still want you to do all the SEO and all the copywriting and everything for us, and we'll just pay you to do it instead. And I was like, well, I could, because everything's already done. We'd already built the infrastructure. Stuff was already ranking. Stuff was starting to sell. We had turned around the public opinion of this company, all sorts of stuff. So it would have been easy to just accept $25,000 a month and sit at home and not have to work anymore, right? But I said, no, that's not okay. These people are not only the people that I brought in from around the country, but they are now my friends. I have hand-trained every single one of these people. And then I've trained these people to train themselves and each other to work as an effective unit. And we have done more in this division than the entire company had in its entire tenure alive, right? So no, that's not okay. They need to come back. If they don't come back, I don't come back, and I shut down all these sites, because they had demanded that I keep all of the sites, all of the content, all of that sort of stuff was in my possession, because they didn't want it. It was too much, you know, potential stuff that could be taxed and things along those lines. Like, these guys, according to the Attorney General of Illinois, are not the best reputationed gentlemen these days. I had reporters that had called me, because when we turned off the lights, all of the bad stuff surfaced on this company. And so I had reporters calling me and whatnot, and I just started saying, yeah, here's where you can find more information. I wasn't giving anything away. I'm not a rat, but at the same time, go for it. Eat them alive. They deserve it, because that's what they did to these people. They think it's okay because they're filthy rich. I don't happen to think that way. These are people. These are people who gave up their lives for a dream that you promised them would be okay. And because of you, I promised that to them. And now I can't deliver on that to them. That's not okay. So I said, fuck your money. You have 30 days to bring these people back in and give them contracts for the next year. If you don't, I shut everything down. No, 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 no. And over the course of that month, they offered me more money. They offered to threaten, or they threatened me. They tried everything they could. Last day came around, they're like, Shane, we'll give you this money and let's just call it good. No, it turns off tomorrow. If they're not back, I don't think you understand. This wasn't a bluff. So, done. Shut everything off. The company tanked. And this was a company that was approaching $1 billion in sales that year. Completely tanked. And I had to walk away from that. But at the same time, that was 2/3 of my income. So that was what was paying my employees. That was what was paying for the house. That's what was paying for pretty much everything. And then I had also just finished up the stuff that I had to do for Frank Kern. And so that contract came to a mutual end. It was all good. But it wasn't good for the timing, because I just went back to earning less than I did as a waiter in like the span of less than a month. But I had to make that choice of, do I take that money and kind of sell my soul sort of thing? And I don't know if the soul is real. I'm not getting into an existential debate on that. It felt wrong, you know? And I know a lot of libertarians are like, well, is there really a right or wrong? Well, to me, it felt wrong. Therefore, I made that decision. No. As a result, company collapsed, employees dispersed, and we were wrecked, and we had to move away from the coast. We moved out into the country because now my wife would have to take over making the money because she had been training with her horses a lot more because she was freed up. And when I quit my job at Applebee's, she also the same day quit her job at Starbucks as a manager. So now she had been pursuing her passion for quite a while because of that good money coming in. And she was very in shape and everything because of working out with personal trainers and whatnot. So when we moved out, she now had to take over. I was no longer the breadwinner. That sunk me down into a very big depression, as you can imagine.
I'm just going to jump in real quick because as I'm hearing this, like, that is a huge fear of a lot of entrepreneurs of if I do succeed, then I have other people riding on me. I have people that I'm employing. I have... all of a sudden the stakes are a lot higher. And what you just explained is like one of the things that is the biggest nightmare for most entrepreneurs is having more than just yourself, having a whole team of people riding on your success and then having something or a couple of things happen just at the wrong time where everything just goes down the toilet. That's, in my opinion, that's probably one of the biggest fears that entrepreneurs have. And you lived through it. How did you make it through to the other side?
Well, it wasn't easy. It wasn't. But what I've learned in that time since then is that if you treat them well and you treat them like humans, imagine that, but you treat them well, like you treat them like you would treat your family, all of the people that work for you and that depend on you and all of that sort of thing. And it's not just about a handout. You see, like the left would have you believe that, well, we need to give a handout, but the right would have you believe, well, you know, they need to earn that. Right. It's this delicate balance in between of, yes, you're getting money from me, but you're also working for me. Or if you can't really work, I can still help you out and I can buy you important things along those lines. Right. But it's all with this understanding that you're doing it because you care for them. You're not just handing them free money. They don't just get a free ride. They're not entitled to it. Just like I wasn't entitled to it. I had to earn it. You've got to earn it in some way. Whether that is just your basic needs that you can't cover yourself, or whether that's something that you can work for or whatever, that's what we had to do. Because I treated people like that, they forgave me. And people will forgive you when you fuck up, because I've got a surprise for everybody that's a business owner. If you haven't fucked up yet, you will.
True that.
Every major success that I've met has been through ridiculous turmoil in their business career. Probably the most successful entrepreneur that I know is Michael Robertson. He's the guy that started MP3.com back in the day. He was sued by every single major record label in the world because it was guys like him, Sean Fanning, etc., that started the digital music revolution, right? So imagine getting sued by every major record company in the world. Think you'd feel like a piece of shit? Probably. But you're not going to give up. You're not going to stop. You're not going to believe them that you're a piece of shit. And a lot of people do, and that's the problem. But you choose to make that decision.
Yeah.
And that's what people need to realize. You made the decision to allow them to do that to you, to allow them to make you feel that way. People can do things, but you have to decide what those things mean.
So what was the rebuilding process? Because a lot of what's in your book and a lot of what's coming out of this conversation is mindset is a huge factor in success. What kind of mindset did you, I guess, how did you keep that mindset of, a lot of people would say, well, I made it to the top and then everything came falling out and it was just a big waste of time. And why would I try again?
Because it wasn't failure, it was data.
Okay.
And when you shift your perspective to look at it that way, I used to code like PHP and things along those lines. So I think of a lot of things like a programmer or like an engineer would. I would say that my biggest gift or talent on the planet is reverse engineering things. Equal to that is my understanding of algorithms. Now, when you understand that all of life is comprised of algorithms, it really makes gaming everything much easier. Does it make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I again, you say so many things that I'm just like, yes, that makes perfect sense. what was that rebuilding process like for you?
Okay. So the rebuilding process was long. It was painful. I thought I was trash. And I thought that I'd failed my wife, which was my biggest pain, I think, that I've ever felt. Because I love her with all of my heart. And people can say that, oh, man, that's cheesy, that's whatever. But it's genuinely that love story that you read about. So I feel very fortunate to have that in my life. But letting her down, if that is the extreme as far as how I feel about her, imagine how it felt to let her down in my mind, right? Mm-hmm. So to be able to rebuild that, first I had to forgive myself. Then I had to make sure, wait, did she forgive me? Oh, wait, she was never mad at me. You see? Because I actually asked her, right? And some people might be mad at you because some people were mad at me. But then we talked it through. And the ones that mattered stuck around. The ones that don't, I don't even think about anymore. And that's not because they're bad people. Our paths diverged. That's it. So the rebuilding process was a lot of moments like that. A lot of truth seeking instead of truth thinking, like, oh, well, I already know everything. So I don't need to ask questions. I don't need to go and learn. I don't need to go ask people what they're really thinking about me. And once I did that, I realized nobody was mad at me that mattered. And the people that were mad at me were mad over trivial shit that there was no way I could ever make up. None. So you move forward through that stuff and you leave those people. To you, it seems like behind, and that seems like a condescending term, but it's not behind. You understand? It's like they move off to the side, and they continue down their own path. But now that path is no longer intermingled with yours. It's no longer intertwined. And that's okay. It doesn't mean it failed. It means you succeeded to find a relationship that ended right there.
Okay.
Or maybe a relationship that'll come back in the future. But you take all of those sorts of things, and all of a sudden you realize, holy shit, well, nobody else is holding myself to these same standards that I'm holding myself to. But that doesn't mean that you lower those standards. You say, everybody's okay, so maybe I should be okay. I'm still going to aim for the same standards, but I'm going to be okay with myself. And you do that, and you move forward. And you start learning, like I explained earlier, on how to become an expert in any niche. Start learning again. Become an expert again in a niche that's ahead of everybody else. And become the expert, and you will get paid obscene amounts of money again. It's a formula that works every single time. Every time. If you don't fight the final fight, which is the title of my book. That's where that came from.
Now, before we jump into that, I do want to kind of take what we're talking about and just kind of tilt it a little bit. Because, again, a lot of everything that's coming out of this conversation, a lot of everything that's in your book is about mindset. And not allowing negative or not allowing a lot of the very, it seems like the easy way out that most people take in life, not taking the easy way out is a lot of what you talk about. Mm-hmm. When it comes to right now, maybe I'm just hypersensitive to this. I don't know, but I'm going to ask your opinion about this. A lot of the kids that are coming out of the colleges nowadays, mm-hmm. a lot of the next generation, and I don't want to sound like the old guy that's like, oh, this next generation, blah blah blah. But it does seem like there's a lot of like victim mindset that's out there. It seems like a lot of my friend Brett Vinat that hosts the School Sucks podcast. He calls it the oppression Olympics, and everybody's going around collecting all these victim tokens. And it's kind of like, how many different victim tokens can you collect, and how many different ways are you oppressed? And that's how you signal, how virtuous of a person you are. What are your thoughts on that type of, it almost seems like an exploding mindset amongst the next generation of kids that are coming up and are going to be grabbing the,
It's perfectly fine, though, Nathan. It is. Because we look like this to the last generation. That generation looked like it to the one before it. The cure to victimhood is reality. When these kids have those loans start kicking in with the obscene interest rates and the mountain of debt that seems impossible to climb out of. And they realize that they have to get two or three jobs to make it work. Like, we're talking to eat and live in a place with four walls and a roof. That victimhood fades away out of necessity, you see? And that's why I'm also very libertarian on that mindset of safety nets are a very dangerous thing, because they make it so that people never fall to that level that requires them to survive. It's that survival mechanism that kicks in and removes the victim mindset. It also removes overconfidence. It removes so many things. Reality, but not reality if you're not going to live in reality. If you continue to just sit in front of the TV and live off of public assistance because life is too hard and because your loans have stacked up and it's impossible and you give up, that's not life. You have now just agreed to be a slave. You're welcome. It's time to wake up.
You said, and something I completely agree with, the idea that failure and not having that safety net there, that's what teaches you how to go, how to live life and succeed. It seems like a lot of people and the people that are training, I mean, the college professors and the talking heads on the televisions, a lot of them are advocating for basically turning the entire nation into one giant safety net.
Yes.
And it seems like that's a more well adopted idea now than it ever has been before in my life.
Yes. So teachers that are in tenures at pristine universities and public universities live in a vacuum. Okay. So once again, like we go back here to reality breaks those problems. They found a way to break themselves back out of reality where they're getting paid every single month, but all they're getting paid to do is give their opinions now on things. Before, teachers taught facts, teachers taught formulas, and teachers taught how to think. Now, they teach you what to think. That's a problem. But when you teach everybody year after year that, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, they start saying, "Oh, professor, you're so great. You changed my life. I never would have been a socialist without you." And you hear that too many times, all of a sudden you're like, yeah, socialism's the shit because I told people it is and they thought I was awesome. And that's the logic hamster that runs for them. So they're not facing reality, and that's why they're teaching this stuff. But the nice thing is that effect of that professor is fucked the second that these people go to reality.
Okay, and I can understand that.
Yeah, once they hit reality, now some of them will give up and they'll go do public assistance, welfare, things like that, because it's too difficult. But here's the news for those people too. If you decide that slavery is not okay anymore and you don't want to be a slave to making that little amount of money and living in that lifestyle, you too can raise to the same levels as me or much, much higher. If you decide to today and ask yourself every day, how can you forward that objective? Those people too can break out of that mold, come into reality and succeed. But the only place that you can succeed is in reality.
Okay. I'm going to say I agree with that because I actually came from a very leftist background. I grew up on welfare.
Yep.
I grew up hating capitalism and through business ownership and through not wanting to do the 9-to-5 grind and not wanting to live on welfare anymore is why I'm at the point where I'm at now. So I'll give you that one. I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
You mentioned the importance of studying and continuing your learning. And
yes.
One fear, maybe not a fear, but a concern that I have is there's a lot of these quote unquote gurus nowadays, people that show up at the beginning of a YouTube video and tell you about how all their knowledge helped them attain all their riches, or people that start online cult I don't want to put anybody on blast, but there are people out there that that read a book or rehearse some stuff that they heard somebody else say, and they put out their own info products without actually ever having built something. And there's a lot of blind leading the blind in the entrepreneurial world nowadays. How do people avoid that or look out for that and not fall victim to the blind leading the blind scenario?
Stop reading a book and start reading more books.
Okay, that's one step.
But does that make, do you see the philosophy that extends from that though? Because that's just the fundamental, right? That's how I teach people, is through fundamentals. Because once you understand that, or like in a parable, right? That's why Christianity spread to such a popular religion, is because a lot of it was in parables, because it's easy to understand. Fundamentals are understand. They are seeds that plant thoughts in people's heads in the future, and you can divulge your own philosophy from those fundamentals and those principles. So instead of reading a book, read more books. What does that mean?
Well, for me, it means that you're going to find some overlap. You're going to find some ideas that are consistent, and then you're going to be able to kind of separate the wheat from the chaff, I guess, as they would say.
Exactly. You're going to be able to distinguish what's bullshit and what's not. Imagine that. And you keep doing that, and you keep doing that, and you keep doing that until you've read hundreds, if not thousands, of books and courses and events and whatnot. And eventually you start seeing these fundamental truths that pop out, just like they do in life, in being a human, in politics, in economics. They do the same thing in business. They do the same thing in your regular life, in your mind. So when you've read more and more and more books, and those fundamentals get more and more clear, you start actually understanding the why, not just the how. And that is what separates, I think, what I try to teach people versus what is mostly taught, and that echo chamber of everybody regurgitating everybody's content, right? Is because I teach people how to find the why, not just how to do it, not just what to do. I teach them why you do it. I teach them why people respond to you the way that they do. I teach you to use better words and language patterns and speech patterns to be able to talk to those people in a way that they will then respond better to you. Imagine that. What's that called? That's called influence.
It also sounds like a lot of work, which me as the average internet wannabe entrepreneur, I just want to kick back on the beach with my laptop, man.
Well, that's what I do most of the week.
But it took a lot of work to get there, though.
Yeah, but if you want it, you better get working. That fundamental doesn't change.
Absolutely.
Just because you don't want it to exist, you have to go work. But until you start working, that never gets any closer. So if you actually want to get there, instead of thinking about it and dreaming about it and hoping that eventually you'll get there, like most people do in life, if you want to be part of that 10% or that 1%, that's what you got to do.
For sure.
So get over yourself, and this is speaking to anybody that's listening, get over yourself and realize it's time to put in the work. Now, it's not Gary Grinderchuk, Vaynerchuk style grind, you know, don't sleep, talk to your wife every 3.5 months, send your kids postcards, etc. It is work your ass off, but also get a proper work-life balance that keeps you happy during that. If you're not balanced during that journey, it's going to collapse in one area or more of your life. So imagine, Nathan, if you could just sit on the beach with your laptop and hang out for like 40 hours a week. But I told you, you got to work 10 hours a week. Is that okay?
For me, it would be. Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So for you, it would be. Now, just find that ratio that works for everybody else. So whoever's listening, find what that ratio is, and then find a way to make it happen. How do you do that? Ask, how is that possible? That's the first question you got to ask.
Well, you know what? We're coming up on the end of the show, but I definitely want to send people to find out more about what you've got going on. First of all, your book is called The Final Fight. I absolutely recommend everybody pick it up and give it a read and really embrace the lessons that are in it. Where can people go to find more about Abrasive Entrepreneur, though?
Yeah, so go to abrasiveentrepreneur.com. That's my website. At the very top, you're going to want to fill out the form. That's at the top of the page. You will get a free, I think it's like a 1-hour training that I did. It was a live training at a marketing event where I teach some fundamentals on Facebook ads. It's very, very powerful. If you're an entrepreneur, you should watch that. If you're a business owner, you should watch that. If you're an online marketer, you should watch that. If you're into network marketing, you should watch that. If you're an affiliate marketer, you should watch that, because it's going to help you understand how to market, how to advertise, how to brand yourself, how to position yourself in the market to stand out. So go to abrasiveentrepreneur.com, fill out that form, get on my emailing list, and then if you want, you can also sign up for my newsletter. That's pretty much the only product I even do these days. In fact, it is. It's the only thing that you can currently buy from me is my newsletter. And that's $2.97 a month. And that seems steep. But is it? If you didn't learn anything from me today, then you're right. It's not for you. But if you did, it's probably worth it. So come get it. If you don't like it, cancel. There's no contracts. That's it. AbrasiveEntrepreneur.com. Nathan, thank you very much for having me on, brother.
Shane, thank you for coming on. Let's not make it another year before we get you back on again.
I agree. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Awesome. Shane Hunter, the Abrasive Entrepreneur, AbrasiveEntrepreneur.com. Shane, thanks again, and we will talk to you later, man.
Awesome. Thanks, man.
Free minds, free markets, free people.